we're going to ask Hector de la Cueva, that you've already heard of several times over this weekend, so I won't introduce him again, to give us a bit of a summing up of what the Social Alliance foresees in terms of possible action within the perspective of Quebec 2001 and what will come from Quebec 2001 and the degradation of the continental economy.
I'd like to refer to the last part of the talk, or the last talk. I believe that popular organizations, unions, and all different groups and views, visions that are, I believe that the minimum that we need is coordination on the same side. I don't know what side he's talking about. Unfortunately, or fortunately, there is a convergence of different sectors that are working on the Quebec summit, respecting diversity and differences, but protecting and defending each other. I believe that is one of the most important things. Regardless of the difference and strategic views that we have, as long as we have a common idea about Quebec 2001, for instance. Anyhow, there are many things that have been mentioned already yesterday, and I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about things that I did not mention yesterday. I don't want to abuse your patience by talking about calamities and tragedies of what happened in Mexico. From 1994 to now, I'd like to talk about top things. January 1st, you know that NAFTA began to be implemented, and since then the neoliberal model started with the NAFTA has created a major tragedy in Mexico, economic and social. The neoliberal model, what we have heard from Ecuador, is it can very well illustrate what happened in many places, but also the effect of NAFTA are very severe. But also on January 1st, the Zapatistas emerged. It did precipitate a crisis that was already there, that opened the crisis, or even affected the crisis of the institutional crisis. They start even killing themselves. I'm talking about the party in government. And then the economic crisis of December. So the opposition unified around the PRDS won this electorally, the city of Mexico City, and everything was moving ahead well. But as I said yesterday, at the end of the chapter, is that the right-wing party, Vicente Fox, capitalized the unhappiness of the people again the system of the state party of the three. The reasons are various, but among them there are also errors, mistakes of the left that allows the right wing to capitalize. Fox is a very weird individual. It's very hard. We don't know. It has some peculiarities. So the situation in Mexico is like we are very happy that the world fall, the moon, but we don't know, and the wrong, to the wrong side, but we see what happened. But also somebody talk about that it's like when you're cutting a tree, you don't know if that's going to which side it falls. Sometimes you are on the wrong side or you cut it in the wrong side. But this is creating new opportunities anyhow, regardless. Maybe we'll see. For the union, for the labor movement, it will be important because the union, the main union, it was a group of mob that it was connected with the party, so that it will create now a new condition for to democratize unions. But in that sector, it's like a dictatorship. It was the apparatus was very gangsters. In that this is not a rhetoric, it's people that are with weapons and their views and their ways of doing things is supported by weapons, and if they have to get rid of you, they will. In the Ford Motor Company, that when we organized people, I went through an experience, even within the Ford Motor. But this apparatus of mob also is falling. So that opened new possibilities for unions. Who will capitalize this? Nobody knows. The panorama is very interesting in that sense. It's, we are all thinking, deeply thinking, moving, and trying to see and to project what to do. That's all thing what I'm going to said. I like to go touch a little bit upon reflections. I want to talk to you about an anecdote. We talk about Zapatismo and on relationship with other movements. This is in the style of the Zapatista army. I like to tell you something that reflects not only the Zapatista movement, but also the search related to the search for alternatives. One of the good things of this political change in Mexico is that Zapatismo will be able to breathe a little bit, for a bit. That they have been silent. Sometimes silence is a way to gain forces. Sometimes Zapatismo has gained or strengthened more in silence than making noise. And they have been in silence until now for the last term. Fox cannot military attack them. The new government cannot military attack them. So that will allow Zapatismo to get out and to breathe. And we'll be listening to them, new initiatives and new appeals from Zapatismo. So, the anecdote. So, what to do in Latin America? What to do with the end of the paradigms or paradigms? The anecdote is this: 1996. We were in the theater, the municipal theater of San Cristóbal de las Casas in Chiapas, at the beginning of what used to be the dialogue between the Zapatismo and the government, or the entity assigned by the government. In this theater, all the indigenous commanders were in one side, and the other side, the representative of the federal government and also the community organization on the other side. In that theater, then, we were a lot of people. And so Commander Marcus mentioned an anecdote. This anecdote is an anecdote within another. Commandante Marcos said that in January 1994 they began the insurrection in Chiapas. They arrived to San Cristóbal de las Casas, and in that theater that they were just building that up, this theater for a function. So, on the rebels, ask the commander Marcos, what do we do with the theater that we are building up? This is a luxury place for the wealthy. Should we explode it? You tell me what we do. What do we do? So the rebel look at the construction and said, "We should leave it up to finish the to allow them to build it up, because maybe one day we might be able to use it." And of course, now that we're meeting to talk about peace and life. So the whole indigenous commanders were there. So what was interesting thing. So it was an important place, this theater, for culture and for meetings. So in that theater, this is the anecdote. Those that the sub-commander that likes it, but it's about the old Pedro. He said that when he went to the mountains first, old Pedro, el viejo Pedro, he was in the mountain with him. Sub-commandante Marcos was already for 2 years in the mountain, and he believed at the time that he knew everything, all the secrets of the mountain and the indigenous. So old Pedro invited him to his place. So they began to walk. Until they reached a wall of a mountain. So they couldn't keep moving. They had everything, and he'll get lost in the mountain. So he looked at the back to look at the path. So old Pedro asked him, "What do we do?" So old Pedro, Commander Marcos, wanted to go back through the same path that they already walked. And the old Pedro got a machete, and he started cutting trees and branches to make a new path. Commander said, "But I thought I know everything about the mountain." Old Pedro said, "Not everything in the mountains can be learned by instrument or by being around. But one thing that you should learn, you never go back to the same path. You should always open a new way, a new path, if you are in the mountain and you are lost." So that's the logic that the Zapatismo has used to strengthen the movement. We don't have to go back to the same path and to walk it many times. The idea is to open new ways. But the anecdote do not stop there. This is, of course. So after the large meeting, it was a smaller meeting of the commanders and the advisors as we were working with them in the dialogue with the government. One of the advisors of asked the subcommandante Marcos, "So when, what happened in the mountain with the equipment or the technology?" So Commandante Marcos answered something that is very interesting. "See everything serving the mountain, but this, how you call the, that shows you where the north is?
Compass
shows you where the north is, but not where the south is." So that happened with the left. We believe that we know where we want, where the north is, but not how to get there. To know where, that doesn't resolve how to build that, how to get there. That we have to find it in everywhere, every day. It's not easy. In Ecuador, they have tried one way, in Brazil, different ways, but the important thing is not to go back to the same. path. And not to believe that because sometimes you know the long-term objective, you know how to get there. So in the continent, we are in the search of finding this and that ways that will make us closer, make us to get closer to the objectives. So we have been hitting ourselves against the wall, almost. And we had knocked the door. Lula went to knock the door in Brazil. Cautemo Cardenas in Mexico, he's still knocking the door. Even sometimes the Zapatismo also knocked the door. That is in Uruguay, they have touched the door. Many countries. But we knocked the door and we walked back. We haven't been able to get into the place, I guess. That. Why we cannot open the door? There are many reasons. The problem is perhaps is that when you knock the door, especially in politics, things are not static. So you move ahead or you go back. Lula, Brazil knows. Cautemo Cardenas, Mexico knows. We all know. When you reach a point, either you remain there or you fall, or you go back. So Nicaragua, not to talk about others, they were on top, they weren't, and they fall. What the reason, the objective reason and the mistakes that of that is part of the thing that we have to think about. And of course, there are objective things that are strong, that they are present. In Latin America, is the force of coercion, transnational coercion of the economic power. What they have in common, Mexico, Nicaragua, Brazil, when people are afraid to move to the left. People are afraid to move to a more democratic change sometimes. Is that if they put a government, a leftist or democratic project, United States will put all his weight against that and misery might become worse. Clearly, our governments are more vulnerable nowadays. So the FTAA is a lock to, in economic and political terms. And they say it cynically, openly they say. When Cardenas won the city of Mexico City, are you afraid that this guy win the electoral of the country? No, that's why we have the NAFTA. In the NAFTA, all the locks that we put on whomever get to the government and the federal level should respect that, so we don't care who is there, because they will be responsible before NAFTA and all this entity. So that's what they wanted to do with the FTAA. It's a supranational constitution under U.S. hegemony. So, is that the people's consciousness is not strong enough? People are worried and concerned. So, if we put this alternative towards to the left, we're going to suffer boycott, and things are going to be worse, more misery. So these other ones, they don't make too much promise. We don't solve problem with them, but things will not worsen it. In Mexico, now that Fox won the elections, all the values everybody was happy. The wealthy were happy because now they believe they're going to have more room to invest and to exploit. So this coercion, how do we deal with that? How we break this? how we make that people feel, how when people feel free that with their votes things can change, but also free to make a decision to choose. So that has to do with international solidarity. So one of the interesting things that are happening lately is that international solidarity is become more cooperation. The words, I am not using it just lightly, but international solidarity is extremely important, but it, today is more important than cooperation. The southern countries, we don't only need solidarity, we can also help to the countries in the north. So what we need is cooperation in the common struggle. That is a concept that we must understand. We don't have to come here to request solidarity. What we need here is to cooperate to defend ourselves mutually and to move ahead. Secondly, solidarity and cooperation is something new and interesting. It's stronger. In the same way, I said more than once that I don't agree anymore with the Latin American vision that all Latins only get together and that as Latin we make alliances with others. I believe that one of the new things is that we have to establish sur-sur, south-south, north-north, south-north, that the networks should be built up south-north, north-south, so the United States, in Canada, in Europe, movement had opening possibilities to open a more closer dialogue and a common struggle and dialogue. That's why in the Hemispheric Social Alliance we have an American view of the Americas, from Canada to States, from Canada to Argentina. I mean. So Mexico is making bilateral agreements with, even at that level, that is happening. Although Mexican government is serving as a sales representative for U.S. products to the Latin countries, South American countries, it's not what we want. What we need is not a Latin American answer, it's a global response. And that's a way we should try to build up. I know that it's difficult, but in the long term, we're moving towards to that more solidarity movement, more cooperative in this common struggle. Solidarity. We have a common struggle in the globalization time, and because we want either another globalization, as the Zapatista said, a globalization for a world in that every world can fit, and not in a world that excludes other worlds.